Yes, you have. But I made up in my mind. Yes, I did. I said, I made up in my mind. Lord, I don't care who don't go. If mama don't go, if papa don't go, if my sister don't go, Lord, if brother don't go, Lord, I'll go. If I have to go all by myself, yes, I will. As for me, I don't care if Roberta don't go, if Ferdinand don't go, if little Joe don't go, if Salem don't go. I got to press a dime pill for nobody but Jasper Williams. Lord, if don't nobody go, I'm willing. I'm willing. Yes, sir. Well, I'm willing. You can count on me. I'm willing to go, Lord, if I have to go all by myself. Oh, Lord. Yes, my Lord. I told the Lord a long time ago, when I was nothing but a child in 1949. You know what I told him. Yeah, here am I. Oh, Lord. Lord, I got on short pants, but here am I. Lord, I ain't nothing but a child, but here am I. Lord, nobody will hear me, Jesus, but here am I. Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Here am I, Lord, I'm willing to go.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
For lifting up the name of the Lord in song on today, amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3. And we will commence reading at verse 17 and read through verse 19. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say hold up. Amen. In the Old Testament of the Bible, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. There you will find these words. If you don't have it in your Bible or on your smartphone, you can look at the screen. And Brother Lacking is going to bless you. And Brother Raheem back there, amen. They're going to put it up on the screen for you. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. And for just a few moments this morning, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject, a yet praise. Let me hear you say that, a yet praise. Amen. Thank you, ushers. One of the most amazing miracles of human history was the way slaves of the antebellum South were able to come together and worship God excitedly and energetically in the midst of damnable and despicable conditions. They had very few external signs that God was on their side. It would have been easy for them to be swallowed up in bitterness and the dark night of the soul. These slaves had been dehumanized on every front. They were snatched from their homeland, forced to work from sun up to sun down, and paid nothing. Their families were often torn apart. Some worked on one plantation while other members of the family were sent to another plantation. It would have been easy to give up on God. But somehow or another, my brothers and sisters, they were able to produce songs and praise that contradicted what they were going through. They would go to church on Sunday morning with their masters, and amen, they would tolerate the service. But that night, they would gather down by the riverside, and they would really get their praise on. The spirit of what these slaves were able to do is very much connected to the spirit of the prophet in this text today. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 has been called one of the greatest expressions of faith in all of the Bible. Even though the scriptures are filled with classic statements and affirmations of faith like that Job declared. You Bible readers remember, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Affirmations of faith like that of Isaiah when he declared, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Or affirmations of faith like that of the wise brother Solomon, when he pronounced, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Or like that of the apostle Paul when he said, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All of these verses are strong statements, but I want you to consider that this one in Habakkuk stands head and shoulders above all of them. This verse is called an inimitable statement of faith because it reaffirms the fact that the real genius of faith lies in its ability to stand up in the midst of struggle. My brothers and sisters, your level of faith is not determined by what faith does in prosperity. Instead, it is determined by what faith does in adversity. Do I have any witnesses here today? You really don't know how much faith you have until you have experienced adversity. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 is a strong expression of faith. However, faith is not necessarily expressed throughout this whole book, because you Bible readers will be reminded that there is some doubt expressed in the book of Habakkuk. There are some complaints in the book of Habakkuk. There are questions regarding theodicy in the book of Habakkuk. That is to say that there are some questions about God's justice and God's fairness. There are some arguments with God in this book. At first, it appears as though God was not on the side of his people. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and many of them were exiled to Babylon. The land of Judah had been destroyed by the invaders. Their crops were failing, and their livestock was dying. Holy places had been desecrated. Those who were not on God's side were prospering. And so consequently, the prophet wondered whether or not the Lord had gone on vacation, leaving them to fend for themselves. Habakkuk commenced his speech with the question, "How long shall I cry and you not hear me?" And I do have some witnesses who understand that sometimes when you're going through certain trials, it helps to know how long. Do I have any witnesses today? It's not always what you're going through, but Lord, how long do I have to go through it? I know I got some witnesses today. How many of you have had to ask the question, Lord, how long is this pain going to last? How long will the turmoil be? You can handle certain experiences if you just know how long. Lord, how long am I going to have to put up with this mess? How long am I going to have to put up with this situation? How long am I going to have to put up with this sickness? Habakkuk is distressed throughout the book, but y'all, at the end of the day, he is able to say in verses 17 and 18 of this chapter, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He's able to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Notice that all of Habakkuk's complaints and questions were in the beginning of the book. Likewise, it's not necessarily how you feel about the Lord at the beginning of the day that is most important. It's how you feel at the end of the day. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm trying to tell you that it's all right to get up down on your knees with despair and doubt. But when you get up off your knees, you ought to be able to say with the prophet, although I'm going through some stuff, God, I still gonna praise you. After all that I've been through, I still have joy. Habakkuk is somehow able to release toward heaven a yet praise by the time we get to the end of the book. The prophet finishes on a new level of joy. He goes from complaint to celebration. I said he goes from complaint to celebration, but don't miss this, with prayer in between. You see, somebody needs to understand that that's the bridge between complaint and celebration. The only way to move from complaint to celebration is through communion with the Almighty God. The only way to get from the valley to the mountaintop is you got to have a talk with God every now and then. The only way to get from the wilderness to the promised land is by developing a real, genuine relationship with God. And in that time of communication, you can be honest with God. Did you hear what I said? I said you can be honest with God. You can cry. He can handle that. You can complain. He can handle that. You can curse. I didn't say cuss. But even if you do that, guess what? He can handle that. Amen, amen. He can handle it. In the process, however, what I have learned in my own life is that God can transform all of that negativity into praise. Verse 17 reveals what the circumstances are. Look at it, look at it, look at it, look at the circumstances. Amen. He's not trying to hide nothing. He's not trying to, amen, lie about anything. Habakkuk says the fig tree ain't yielding figs. There are no grapes, there are no olives, there's no grain, there are no sheep, and my cattle are dying. Do you all understand that these people could not make it without these things? What are you saying? I'm saying these are not just niceties. These are necessities. And is there anybody here today who in your own life you've had to go through a season, amen, of not having some stuff you know you sure enough needed? Oh, don't sit there and act like you had a silver spoon in your mouth all your days. Don't sit there and act like you were born in Buckingham Palace and you had, amen, maids and waiters and butlers to do everything. Is there anybody here who's had to experience a season of going through some stuff? What I love about it is that this prophet was aware of the situation. He wasn't blind to it. He was not some otherworldly in some otherworldly mindset that allowed him to come up with a yet praise. He had a view about what was going on, but he was able to say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Many times we think that we can only give God praise if we forget about what we're going through. But y'all, that only becomes escapism, and that ain't real worship. Did you hear what I said? I said that's escapism. That's not real worship. Where are my real worshipers at? See, real worshipers know what I'm talking about. Real worship acknowledges that the fig tree is not blossoming, the vine is not producing any grapes, the olive crop has failed, the fields are producing no food, there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall. Let me bring it closer to home. Real worship acknowledges that my money is funny and my change is strange. Real worship acknowledges that my bills are this high and my money is only this high. Real worship acknowledges that the marriage is on shaky ground. Real worship acknowledges that you've got sickness in your body and the doctors don't know what to do. When it comes to real worship, you don't forget that you have trouble. I said when it comes to real worship, you don't forget that you've got problems. Do I have a witness here today? You just recognize that there is something else going on in addition to what you're going through. In other words, you don't have to live in denial in order to be a real worshiper. Real worship says that the God that I'm worshiping is bigger than the problem I'm going through. Where are my real worshipers? Real worship says, my God is so big that I've come to a point in my life where I no longer tell God about my problem. But I have a relationship with God such that now I tell my problems about my God. If you know him, give him praise in this place. Habakkuk tells us the reality of the situation. The people were going through a season of unfulfilled expectations. You see, they expected the crops to come through and produce. They expected the sheep and cattle to flourish. They were in a season when there were no visible signs that God was on their side. The production of crops and the growth of flocks were signs of divine favor. Now, unfortunately, amen, many of us have narrowed God's favor down to stuff. Y'all don't want to say nothing. Amen, amen. They measured the level of God's favor by what they had, which is always a dangerous thing. Tell that neighbor, that's always a dangerous thing. Whew, y'all ought to help me. Somebody needs to tell that neighbor, don't try to judge my relationship with God by what I have. Don't get it twisted. Don't try to judge my love of God by what I got in my bank account. Ooh, y'all don't want to say nothing. Don't try to judge, amen, God's favor on my life by what I'm driving or by what I'm living in, because there's somebody here who knows that peace is better than money in the bank. There are some folk living in big houses, but they can't sleep at night. Folk driving big cars, amen, but they don't know what it means when you start talking about the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is there anybody here today who understands that God's favor ain't just based on material stuff? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a season of unfulfilled expectations? As much as we talk about divine favor, there are seasons when no visible signs of divine favor appear. We call them seasons of barrenness. And so look at Habakkuk. He explains the reality of the situation. Then he tells us what his reaction is. And y'all, this is crucial. This is crucial. It does not simply involve the reality of the situation, but it's how I'm reacting to the situation that will make the difference. Amen. See, because some of y'all, if the truth would be told, with all you've been through, some of us would understand if you got hooked on crack. I'm talking about somebody who's been through, see, some of y'all ain't never been through nothing, so you can't identify, but there are some of you who've been through so much hell that we might kind of understand why you on that bottle so heavy and so hard. But for the real worshipers, we have figured it out, amen, that it's not what happens to me, but it's how I'm going to react to it. Do I have any witnesses today? And so you've got to look at how they react to it. He says, although there are no figs, no grapes, no olives, no sheaves of grain, no sheep, the cattle are dying, yet I was going to rejoice in the Lord. Y'all, he reacts in a way that suggests that his external scenario will not dictate his internal condition. It means that my spirit is rebelling against my situation. You see, the word although admits stuff is rough, but the word yet acknowledges they ain't gonna jump off no bridge. Excuse the double negative. The prophet goes on to say in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, I need you to look at these words here, these words. The meaning of the words rejoice and the meaning of the words will joy. Very interesting, very interesting. In the Hebrew vernacular, the word for rejoice is alaz, A-L-A-Z. Amen. You know what it means? It literally means to jump for joy. Now, the words will joy in this text. See, some of y'all were laughing at us a minute ago when we were marching around and doing all that stuff. But watch. The word rejoice in the Hebrew tongue means jump for joy. The words will joy literally means to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, don't worry about what I'm saying. Let me tell you what Habakkuk is saying. He's saying that although the fig tree is not blossoming, the vine is producing no grapes, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will jump up and spin around. Wait a minute. Crops are failing. Flocks and herds are dwindling. People are dying. Yet the prophet says, I'm going to jump up and spin around. I realize this does not sound sophisticated to us. You know, amen, we got a little education now, and, you know, we've been to the higher school of higher learning, and we got some degrees behind our name and all of that, and we're more sophisticated now, and don't make sense, amen, jumping up and spinning around. It sounds more like the latest aerobics class. What are those prophets doing jumping up and spinning around? I thought that when you got a position in the church, all of the jumping and spinning was over. I thought that once you became a preacher and a pastor or deacon or deaconess, all of the jumping and spinning stopped. I thought that only those emotionally unstable folk were supposed to jump and spin. I thought that only ignorant, uneducated people did the jumping and spinning. But Habakkuk would say to us, y'all can say what you want to say about me, but right now, when I think about how good God is, I'm going to get all 200 pounds
Let me hear somebody say, I will bless the Lord. Come on, say it with conviction. I will bless the Lord. Y'all sit down, sit down. The most amazing thing about this is that Habakkuk felt this way in light of what he was going through. That's what I call a yet praise. A yet praise is a praise that is not supposed to happen. A yet praise is a praise that does not make sense to folk around you. See, they know what you're going through. Yet they see you waving your hands and praising God. A yet praise is a praise that has you coming to church when you feel like you have every reason not to come. Tell your neighbor, a yet praise. A yet praise has you singing when you just lost your job. I'm talking about a yet praise. A yet praise has you clapping after you just came from the doctor with a bad report. I'm talking about a yet praise. A yet praise will have you lifting up holy hands even when people are trying to tear you down. I'm talking about a yet praise. A yet praise will have you shouting hallelujah even when you're broke. Is there anybody who's got a yet praise? Many of us, we're pretty good at because of praise. Now, don't get me wrong, we ought to praise God because of. He's worthy to be praised because he put food on the table. He's worthy to be praised because he blessed you with the promotion. He's worthy to be praised because he is enlarging my territory, because he's healing my body, because he blessed me with a new car, a house, because my income is increasing, or because he's given me victory over my enemies. The psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Anytime you read praise him for, that is because of praise. And that's all right too. Amen. A lot of because of praise in the Bible. You Bible readers will remember how Miriam and her girls got their tambourines, ran out to the street and started blessing God because the Lord opened up the Red Sea. You remember that, don't you? You Bible readers will remember how David, the Bible says, danced out of his clothes on the street because he was able to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city. You Bible readers will remember how Nehemiah and the people praised God so loudly that they could be heard all over Jerusalem because they had finished rebuilding the walls. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man in the temple who turned the church inside out by leaping and praising God because he had been healed when Peter touched him. Some of you will remember a woman fell at Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair because he'd given her a brand new life. All of that is because of praise. Tell your neighbor, there ought to be because of praise. There ought to be because of praise. And some of y'all scare me when praise is going forth, and you're sitting there with your arms folded and your legs crossed, you sitting there mean mugging the praise team because they ask you to stand up and rejoice. Y'all scare me, because I believe everybody in here ought to have a because of praise. Because he woke you up this morning. Because he put food on your table. Come on, think about that job you on. You know you're not qualified to be over there on them people's job. Amen. But the Lord opened up a door. He made a way for you. You ought to have a because of praise. Do I have a witness today? But I come by to tell you, I'm closing, Brother Mike, that there are times when no matter how hard you look,
No matter how hard you try, you cannot